Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Join us this year at the annual Orange Catholic Foundation's Conference on Business and Ethics at Hotel Irvine, Friday, May 4th. This year's breakfast event will feature a keynote by Cardinal Timothy Dolan and a Lifetime Achievement Award for Modern Day's Coach of the Year, Bruce Rawlinson, and other surprises.
This is Father Dave Dwyer, and I'll see you on May 4th.
To purchase tickets or be an event sponsor, go to orangecatholicfoundation.org. That's orangecatholicfoundation.org.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. And happy Easter. This is so exciting. This is the most exciting day of the year, and we're with three very exciting people, members of Spirit-Filled Hearts, and, of course, the very famous engineer, Jim Gabanelli. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Happy Easter, Deacon Steve. Great to be here.
Happy Easter to you. And Katie Hughes, who is somewhat of a regular on the show over the past years and someone who is a integral part of the foundation of Spirit-Filled Hearts. Welcome back to the show, Katie.
Thank you. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia. And Michael Amola, who's vice president of our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts. Welcome back to the show, Michael.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. And of course, what's the Italian for Easter?
Buona Pasqua.
Buona Pasqua. Buona Pasqua. And so, you know, it's interesting, you know, growing up, as an Italian American, Easter was such a big deal for us, and it was one of great joy. And one memory, Easter memory for me, is family. And as you think about it, what Jesus did is basically say that we are His sons and daughters, and by that resurrection, you know, it's so important that we understand that we are His adopted sons and daughters. I'm sure, Michael, you're going to have a big Easter meal where you are, and traditional Easter.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us about some of your traditions in terms of Easter and what that has been for you.
Well, with our family, obviously, Easter Mass, and we like spending time with the family and extended family, so it includes now my son's in-laws and their family, and they customarily will join us at Easter services. They're not Catholics, but nonetheless, they join us at Easter services. So it's always nice having the family together.
My brothers and sisters, we take a look at Romans 8, and it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If only we suffer with Him so that we may be glorified with Him." And Katie, that glorification with Him, you know, it's interesting. The other night, you know, we have at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Irvine, California, we have a Divine Mercy meeting and where we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. But we also aired a program for the Augustine, do a shout-out to them, Institute. on the various theories of the resurrection and so forth. And tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, it was an apologetics piece on the resurrection of Jesus and how the evidence and proof of it actually happening is so profound, we cannot ignore it. Even the pagans of that time recognized it as being very significant. And so there were different theories that trying to squash and discount the resurrection of Jesus. One, he never died. Another one was everyone went into a state of euphoria and they all saw the same thing, which does not happen. And then also the body was stolen and they said he resurrected and that he never died. The body was taken from the cross before he could die. And in just the apologetics of it was so powerful that you can't ignore the proof. In those times, there was no way that Jesus didn't die because he was so popular and such a public figure, and it was a public crucifixion. It wasn't just some person they were just trying to take care of quickly where they could crucify him on the side of the road, and then the family could come in the night and take the body before they actually died. It was so public, and the fact that the sword pierced his side. And the Romans, the one thing they know how to do is they know how to crucify and they know how to make sure someone's dead. And they had to make sure that had happened. And so it was just great, like, to have all this information and this evidence of Jesus died. And he didn't do it for himself. There was no way possible that someone who is, if you want to say a prophet, the Messiah is who he was. There's no way that he would just die for vain. There was a reason he did it. And it was so powerful. And to know and believe that, we must carry and we must proclaim this Easter that he died and rose again and conquered every sin of mankind.
My brothers and sisters, we see from Scripture that Paul talks about proclaiming Christ crucified and why that is so critical, that he never ever shrank from proclaiming the truth about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and so must we. I know I have to say a little story that when I was in college, I wasn't sure. You know, I went to Loyola, now Loyola Marymount, and I went out of my way to be, you know, kind of that smart aleck kind of guy. And so I was going to do a term paper. This is really smart, you know, doing a term paper in a Catholic university on why the resurrection didn't happen. And so what I did is that I looked at the various accounts, saw that they were gospels and that they were conflicting each other. And so I said, okay, I'm just going to show that this makes no sense, that they don't agree and so forth. But when I did research on it, I realized that not just research in Scripture, but research in terms of what was going on at the time. There were tons of people who basically said that they were going to be the Messiah and that they'd walk around and people would follow them and go, okay, this is the Messiah that's going to save us. But that person would die and then everything would fall apart. Well, the exact opposite happened here. Jesus died on the cross, and then, of course, something happened, and that something happened was the resurrection and obviously Pentecost with the Holy Spirit. But that something happened in which he appeared to everyone, and we saw, and I say everyone, meaning that appeared to the disciples and appeared to so many different people. And as we take a look at that scripture, we see that, you know, in John, it was Mary Magdalene who first came there and went back and told the others. And so Peter and John came running and they saw the burial cloths and everything changed from that point on as he then appeared to Mary and appeared to the disciples. So the net for me was the fact that it had to happen. It had to happen to have all of these attitudes changed, for have people willing to die a death of crucifixion, you know, a death in which basically this horrible death, they had to believe. And, you know, Michael, it's so important for us to understand that we have to embrace the concept that the resurrection actually happened. And if it happened and everything that Jesus said was true, then that has to change our life.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to your comments, and I'm sitting here saying, I never didn't believe. It's what I know from the beginning of my life, that, you know, Jesus was born on Christmas Day, and 33 years later, he, you know, died for my sins, and, you know, he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. So, I don't know, that maybe that's what happens when you're a cradle Catholic, but it's never been a doubt in my mind that he died to redeem me.
So the real question is, and I'm going to throw this to our engineer because he has seen so many guests in nearly 30 years in Christian radio. Why is the resurrection, this is my question for you, why should the resurrection change how we believe and how we act in life? Because if we truly believe that Jesus rose from the dead and everything he said was true, how does that change us?
Boy, that's a good one. I would say that it changes everything, because if indeed Jesus did rise from the grave, which I believe, then that separates him really from any other religious figure. You know, you talk about Buddha and Muhammad and this, that, and the other, and they're all, you know, dead and buried in their graves. But Jesus is not buried in his grave. He rose again, which really gives amazing hallelujah hope to all of us Christians who believe in him. So,
amen.
It's pretty simple to me, too. I guess I kind of echo where Michael's coming from, because I also am a cradle Catholic, and it was probably not until I was about 19 or 20 when I think I really owned the faith for myself. But never really in my life did I not believe.
You know, one of the most important things about Easter is just understanding it's in the spring that we celebrate Easter, and it's rebirth. And Easter gives us hope, hope that passes all understanding. And Katie, when we think about Easter, it's so important that we think about what Jesus has told us. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, you are a new creation. You are a new wineskin. And for so many of us, as we think about spring and we think about new flowers and new creations and new growth, Easter is like the beginning of new growth, the beginning of a new creation. My brothers and sisters, we're going to have Katie's answer here in a second. But before we do this, we're going to take a break. But what is the important thing for us to think about? How does Easter transform us into becoming a new creation and full of joy? Joy that passes all understanding. Peace that passes all understanding. A joy that is transforming. Joy standing for Jesus over you. We're going to talk about Easter joy when we come right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit.
Well, it's that time of year for us Catholics all around the world. It is Lent, and that means, as is tradition, we are here with Wahoo's co-founder, Wing Lam. And Wing, tell us about what you have for us this year.
Well, Mike, what better way to observe Lent than by having some fish tacos on Friday? And this year, we got some crispy ones waiting for you. Something a little bit different. We've been grilling using Cajun spices. Now we got something a little more crispy for you to try out during Lent.
If it's Fridays and it's Lent, it's got to be Wahoo's fish taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you, Mike. We'll see you at the stores.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. Happy Easter, Bona Pasqua, and all the different types of cultural Easters that are out there. May you have just a joyous one. Jesus told us in John 15, 11, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Joy stands for Jesus over you. And as you're driving around, going to see grandma, going to see your parents, or going to see friends, as you enjoy your Easter service and Mass, may you be filled with the Easter joy and filled with that abundant alleluia, 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 that joy that just no one can take away. And, you know, the Mass is a big part of that joy, and Easter Mass is so incredible. Easter Vigil held last night, absolutely unbelievable, in which we welcome in those entering into the church, and we welcome those that are really being filled with the light of Christ. But what does the joy of Easter mean to you, Katie?
It's a great celebration. I was just praying about, you know, Lord, you died, you rose, now what? How are we going to live our life? How are we going to be joyful this Easter? And the one thing that brings me to is realizing we have everlasting life. When we die, it's not necessarily we're dying into a new life with Christ. And so I always think about it, the Mass. You know, think about the Mass today at Easter or the next time you go, that because Jesus rose from the dead, he conquered death. And that means at Mass, during the holy, 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 and we're praying and the heaven and earth comes together, we are at the heavenly banquet table with the Lord, with your family members who have passed on and are with the Lord right now. They are with you. The angels, all the holy angels, the saints, they're so joyful. Jesus is there. And this couldn't happen without the sacrifice of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, the Son of God the Father. And it could not happen without his resurrection of conquering death, conquering sin. Sin is death, and it is no more when you are in communion with the Lord during the Holy Mass. And that's what that day is all about, is that it happened and is real, and the joy of Easter is with you eternally with the Lord.
Now, you can't see her, but her hands were waving, and she's not even Italian. It's amazing for someone of her background. Okay, that is so true, and hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 and following. This I declare, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but will be changed in an instant, in a blink of an eye, so at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the death will be raised through incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And for that which is corruptible must clothe itself with incorruptibility, and that which is mortal must clothe itself with immortality. And when this which is corruptible closes itself with incorruptibility, and this which is mortal closes itself with immortality, then the word that is written shall come about. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the greatest of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This victory has conquered death.
Amen.
This victory has conquered sin. My brothers and sisters, be filled with joy, filled with the joy of the Lord, because through that joy, we understand that we are his children. You know, it's just so important to understand the fact that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus because of his death and resurrection. We see this in Romans 8:1. We see the fact again that he tells us over and over again that nothing will separate us from the love of God. And, Michael, when we think of Easter, we have to think of love. You know, we come together as families. We come together as communities. But it's really understanding that Jesus is at the center of the Mass, is at the center of that family meal, is at the center of us coming together, in which we are joyously celebrating that we are not orphans, we are not alone, that Jesus is there for us, and that we'll be with him forever.
Yeah, and all of that is reinforced for me through the process of Lent. We have this reinforcement about our faith and renewing our faith. And it culminates at Easter, which you know, for we Catholics, is the Holy of Holies. I mean, you know, it's the experience of being reborn and you know, your soul being cleansed and you growing closer to God.
We have a lot of different Easter experiences to express that joy. And, Jim, you have some Easter memories that are really pretty fantastic. I heard someone, it was a rumor, I'm not sure it's true, but I heard that you're the voice of God in past Easters.
That's true, actually. I remember when I was 16 years old, I remember becoming a lector at my home parish. And I just felt called to it. I felt called to do that. And this really predates, you know, ever being on the radio or anything like that. And I just recall, I think it was like the music director at the parish, somehow or another, he asked me if I would help with a special service they did for the Easter Vigil. And I don't think I'd ever been to an Easter Vigil before, so I didn't really understand the depth and the breadth of how long that service was and what exactly was going on. But here I was, late teens, early 20s, and I was sitting way up on the balcony in the back of my church, and I don't remember exactly what my lines were, but yes, I was the voice of God. And they turned all the lights off in the church. I remember that. They turned all the lights off, and I was like reading by candlelight. And it was just such an honor to be part of that. And I think I did it like 3 or 4 years in a row where I did this special role where I was like the narrator person. It's a memory that I'll always cherish. And I've ever since that time, I've just cherished the Easter Vigil and just watching the emotions flow from all of our new brothers and sisters who have, you know, worked throughout the year to their desire was just so strong to unite with the church and to become Catholics and to receive the Lord in the Eucharist. And it all happens on that night. It culminates on that night. So that's one of my fondest memories.
Yeah, it is. I love Easter Vigil again. That was last night. And the whole, as you mentioned, you start with a fire outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then you light, everyone has candles, and you light the candles. And as a deacon, I get to hold that big candle as coming in, and I sing out, "The light of Christ, alleluia, alleluia." Okay, cut that part out. No, I love to sing "The Light of Christ" because that is just, you know, that's what Easter is about. It's this blinding light that is Jesus that just absolutely takes over any darkness in our life. Any sort of sin in our life is broken when we say yes to him, when we repent of our sins, when we say, "Lord, you are our Lord, and take over my life and confess our sins and be aware of the fact that he died for our sins." Katie, one of the important things along those lines is that, you know, that when we confess our sins, that Jesus has wiped them clean and forgotten them, right?
Amen.
So that when you get to heaven, don't remind him.
Try not to.
So, but the point is that Easter is breaking that bondage, and that's the reason why it starts out dark, right? At Easter Vigil, it starts out dark because we are all in darkness without the light of Christ, and it is the light of Christ, my brothers and sisters, that transforms us, and that light of Christ wants to get into the crevices. I don't need to say, and Michael, for our listening audience, as a reminder, if they have not heard you before, you have triplets.
I do.
God bless them all, and 4 children all together. Mm-hmm. And needless to say, you know, there's a lot of challenges, as we all know, who are parents or grandparents, a lot of challenges raising children. And we have to rely on that light of Christ, that light into darkness, because darkness is something that just unfortunately happens as part of the life experiences, but we can always have hope, the Easter hope, and bring light into the situation.
Absolutely. And you know, thank goodness for that light, because there would be a lot of dark moments, you know, as a parent. But, you know, with that light, with that renewal, we have somebody there who can help us, who can assist us, who provides us with this renewed energy to keep doing what we need to do, be it as, you know, a parent or be it as an individual, to rebuild our spiritual life.
And in rebuilding that spiritual life, you can be assured that Jesus is holding your hand and really carrying you at times. The old poem of footsteps, and, you know, there are times, Katie, when we feel all alone, but it's with that Easter hope, that Easter joy, the alleluia, knowing the fact is that God is there helping us every step of the way.
Amen. And just thinking about it, Easter is a season, and it's to be embraced, and it's to be celebrated, and not just this Sunday. You know, this whole week of Easter coming up is beautiful, and we have at the eighth, the octave of Easter is Divine Mercy Sunday, and the mercy that Jesus poured out with his blood and water, he just absorbed it all. He took it all. He took it all away for us. And there's such a great, in that mercy is such a great humility for us to receive, and this great joy, because his love is so incomprehensible. And I just ask you to pray and ask the Lord to share with you his love, his joy for you, being resurrected with him. You are resurrected in Christ Jesus, and you are his joy. You are his beloved. You are his precious child, and he is saving you, and he is bringing you to everlasting life. So this is something to celebrate and continue on and take with you this relationship deeper with the Lord.
My brothers and sisters, do you feel the love of Christ? Do you feel that he has forgiven you? Do you feel the fact that you have a purpose in life, and that purpose in life is to understand how much you are loved by God, to embrace that love, to answer that love with your own love, loving God and loving your neighbor? When we understand that God is love, and we understand how much we're loved, everything changes. And Easter is the epitome, is the foundation of all of that change, is the foundation of understanding that God so loved us that he died this horrible death but rose again and broke through the bondage of death, the bondage of sin, so that we may have everlasting life. We're going to talk about Easter decisions that we need to make when we come right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. Happy Easter to everyone out there. And wow,
I love Easter.
I love Easter because of the joy, family, understanding that God so loved me that he broke through sin. And this understanding of mercy, Katie, is so critical. And the fact of the matter is, a week later, Divine Mercy Sunday, we have to understand that Easter is about forgiveness and mercy, because he has forgiven our sins, rose again, and has incredible mercy for us.
Yes, the Divine Mercy devotion, I feel like it's more than just a devotion. It's the completion of Easter in so many ways. And when we realize how much Jesus loves us and how he poured out his merciful love, and that he has wiped away every sin, every future sin, every past sin, every present sin, just basking in his mercy and praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And some of you might be going through the novena of Divine Mercy Sunday today. And it's so beautiful. The passage for today for Divine Mercy is so powerful for each one of you. So I ask you to just prayerfully listen. Listen to what the Lord is saying to you. Jesus said to St. Faustina, "Today, bring to me those who do not believe in God and those who do not know me." She was thinking also about turning to his bitter passion and their future zeal, comforted by his heart. Immerse them in the ocean of my mercy. So bring your family members, bring your loved ones to the truth of the resurrection, the glory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you can bring them there just with your prayers of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Just having the grace of the image in your home is such a profound blessing.
One of the things that is so important is try to embrace Divine Mercy Chaplet. If you haven't done that, this Easter, make and say, okay, this is an Easter decision for me, is to embrace this very, very powerful prayer that, you know, isn't that long. It's 8-10 minutes. If you do that every day, you know, there's so many graces associated with it. But one of the most important things as we focus on Easter, and it's a question I'm going to ask each of you, is how is the mercy of Christ embraced by you individually? How do you feel the mercy of Christ? I'm going to start out, and then I'll go around and ask each of you. The mercy of Christ for me means that despite the fact I have rejected him, despite the fact that I have fallen on my face and done all of these sins, he loves me unconditionally, is merciful to me, and is waiting for me to come to him and ask for mercy, ask for forgiveness, and it's totally made new. It is the prodigal son, my brothers and sisters, with the father of the prodigal son running out to embrace him. And that's exactly what Easter is about. What Easter is about is that Jesus embracing us, despite the fact that we have fallen so short of the mark. I have fallen so short of the mark. I've done things in the past that certainly I'm regret, and things that, you know, I know I've hurt the Lord. There are things where I've turned my back on him. And like Peter denying God, in so many ways, I denied God by my own flesh, my own selfishness. And yet, in spite of that, God comes to me and says, I love you passionately, and I have forgiven you. Come to me, and when you come to me, I will give you and shower you with all of these blessings. And he has, and he does. What does mercy mean to you, Katie?
Mercy is unmerited pardon. It means you don't deserve anything that's good from the Lord. And he does it just purely out of his divine love and fills every facet of your being, your complete soul. That's what he does when I turn to him and I seek his mercy and I just humble myself in his presence and recognize that no matter what, he has me. He has me in his mind. He'll never let me go. No matter where I am and what part of my life, I can always turn to him, to his mercy.
Amen. Michael, what does mercy mean to you?
the mercy of Christ is, I'm thankful it's there, you know, because what I recognize is that I have a lot of failings. And I'm blessed to recognize that Jesus is always reaching out to me and trying to help me and trying to support me. And through the Easter season, we have the opportunity for, as I've said before, a lot of reflection and a lot of introspection. And it builds up my faith and reminds me, continually reminds me, that I'm going to trip and fall. I'm going to make mistakes. And God is willing to forgive. And one of the things that, for me, is important through the Easter season is reconciliation and making sure that during the Easter season especially that I get to reconciliation. And that is a whole, you know, uplifting experience and something that we talk about often, and we hope that our brethren out in Radio Land, you know, avail themselves of, because that's one of the things where you see Christ's mercy is through reconciliation.
And we realize, my brothers and sisters, that none of us are perfect in the sense that we all are sinners and we all fall short of the mark. We are perfect in that God has made us holy because of what he did, and in that way, we're, quote, well made, which is what perfect means in Greek. But what it really is, what's so important is understanding the fact that it is through his death and resurrection and his mercy that transforms us into his image, into his love. Jim, what does mercy mean for you?
Well, you know, I'm so fortunate in what I do for a living, and that I produce radio shows such as yours, Deacon Steve. You know, I sit here in this studio and I engineer so many different programs where different priests will come in, where amazing anointed speakers will come in, and folks like yourself. And I think that I'm just like anyone else, where I need to be reminded, because every once in a while I'll hear a very eloquent speaker talking about God's mercy and how your sins are forgiven and forgotten when you go to reconciliation. And I'll hear that and I'll go, oh yeah, yeah, I needed to hear that. I needed to be reminded of that. And then what ends up happening is, you know, I'm able to look back on my life when I see that God has carried me through really difficult times and circumstances in my life, and how those struggles that I went through really tenderized my heart. When I see other people struggle, maybe some of their struggles are similar to what maybe I went through 20 years ago. And it's helped me have so much more empathy and sympathy and love and mercy on those who are dealing with some of those just difficult things in life, you know, because life can be very difficult at times. And so it's enabled me, maybe just in some small way, to be able to minister to someone else who's gone through something similar to what I've gone through.
Why is it so much easier to really accept God's forgiveness of other people, but not so much of ourselves at times?
Mm.
Why do you think?
Oftentimes for me, you know, I just look at other people's experiences, just like when I'm watching a movie, and I think I see someone going through something and I think, okay, what would I be doing if I was in that person's shoes? I think that's one of the reasons why something like Titanic was such a popular movie, because I ended up putting myself on that boat thinking, what would I be doing? I'd be going down with that ship. I know I'd be going down. So when you say extending forgiveness or mercy to someone else, I think it's just because, at least for me, I'm able to kind of place myself in their shoes and say, you know what, the Lord will forgive you for that. Whereas when it's yourself, you take such ownership of whatever it is you've done or haven't done and the wrongs that you have done. And it's just harder. And that's just kind of the way we're wired. At least that's my perspective.
Yeah. And it's so true in the sense that, my brothers and sisters, you may think, well, I can understand how they can forgive this other person because I have forgiven them for what they've done. But for me, I should have known better. My brothers and sisters, God has forgiven you in the same way that he's forgiven the other people, that you can embrace that. But for you, it may be difficult. And when it's difficult for you to feel that hope, that forgiveness, at times then it leads us to shame and it leads us to addictions. It leads us to sin because we don't feel God's love. And that's just so important, Katie, as we think about this, is to really embrace the fact that we are forgiven as a result of the death and resurrection.
It's your new life in Christ is accepting that. And sometimes it's hard because we are human and we just think of all that we've done and we hold on to it. But right now, let it go. Don't let Jesus die in vain for you because he died for that sin. He died for whatever you're holding on to. And rejoice. Rejoice in how much he loves you and let it go and let God rush in and heal you. The mercy of the Lord is so healing and will transform your life.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, it is about this transformation. You know, you may have seen movies where Jesus, you know, rose and there's this blinding light and so forth, and his whole body obviously is transformed. And this transformation is exactly what God is doing in your soul and in your heart. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what should you now do on this Easter Sunday to have that Easter joy each and every day for the rest of your life. And certainly as we continue to strive for holiness, as we strive to get closer to Christ. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are on Empowered by the Spirit.
Well, it's that time of year for us Catholics all around the world. It is Lent, and that means, as is tradition, we are here with Wahoo's co-founder, Wing Lam. And Wing, tell us about what you have for us this year.
Well, Mike, what better way to observe Lent than by having some fish tacos on Friday? And this year, we got some crispy ones waiting for you. Something a little bit different. We've been grilling using Cajun spices. Now we got something a little more crispy for you to try out during Lent.
If it's Fridays and it's Lent, it's got to be Wahoo's fish taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you, Mike. We'll see you at the stores.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land Cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the Diocesan Choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange, on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Happy Easter, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope, beautiful Christ Cathedral. I'm with Katie Hughes, Michael Amola, and Jim Gavinelli, and we are talking about the joy of Easter, that God so loved us passionately that he gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life, John 3:16, and that Jesus died and rose again, that we celebrate this on Easter. And how does that transform you, my brothers and sisters, knowing the fact that he died for you and rose for you, that you may have eternal salvation? How does that impact you and what you need to do? For me, as I reflect on it and meditate on it and pray about the fact that he rose again for me, that he went through this horrible death and rose in order that I may have eternal salvation and be with him in heaven in joy forever. I want to share that with other people, Katie. Mm. I want other people to know about this Easter joy.
Amen. Get out there right now.
Okay, right now. I think I'm sharing it with many stations right now listening in. But this is so important, yes, that we share that Easter joy. I mean, if we keep it inside of us, then it's like getting having this incredible gift and not allowing other people to share in it. And that's exactly what we are to do. We are to share it.
We are missionaries. We are witnesses to the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. He is Jesus, the Messiah. And we must not deny that. We must not stay silent. We must share the good news that he gave us everlasting life, and everyone needs to know about it. Do not hide. Do not shrink from this. This is a miracle, and people need to know.
Our brothers and sisters, we're giving you a challenge. That challenge is, what are you going to do differently as a result of this Easter? What are you going to do differently to sharing your faith, to inviting people to a mass, inviting people to coffee, inviting people to a meal, whatever it might be, to do something differently to let them know that they're loved? But also about what you're doing on your job or vocation or school or whatever, how can you share that with other people? And to make a decision for Christ. And Jim, you know, it's fascinating to me that you have been involved in Christian radio and now full-time Catholic radio. You know, you made a decision to really get involved in Christian/Catholic radio rather than secular radio for the most part. I know you've done some secular work, but why was that so important to you to make that decision to stay focused in Catholic radio, let's say?
Oh, it was pretty easy for me early on. That was just right there in my wheelhouse, being able to work in Catholic radio, which I've been able to realize at this point in my career. For so many years, I worked as a radio host at a Christian talk station. I guess you could say evangelical station, but it wasn't anti-Catholic per se, but for so many years, I did a 5 or 6 hour shift where I was introducing different programs on the air, popular Bible teachers from across North America, wonderful family programs. And I heard so much great material over the years, so much great Easter programming. And I remember thinking to myself, in fact, a few people would comment to me. They would say, Jim, how many years you've been in radio now? How many years have you worked here? And wow, all the sermons you've heard over the years. And boy, did I feel convicted by that. I was like, all the sermons I've heard by, I don't know, the Chuck Swindolls and the Charles Stanleys.
Were they saying, why didn't it take?
and the Dr. J. Vernon McGee's. Well, I was thinking to myself, wait a second. Has it really taken with me? I'm going to be responsible for hearing all these sermons. But no, it's been just an incredible blessing for me to be involved in, again, Christian radio for so many years, and now it's basically kind of morphed into almost all the radio I produce at this point in time is in the Catholic world, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm just so grateful for the grounding of all the years that I worked doing what I did and the Lord providing this opportunity for me now.
And we are so grateful for you. You have been unbelievable in terms of everything that you do in your engineering job, but also just who you are and your presence, that when I see you, I see the light of Christ, and I see the joy of Christ. And
thank you for
and
that,
certainly
Steve.
The same with Michael and Katie here. But it's living out Easter. If Easter is just a single day, and not even just the Easter season, but living out Easter has to be our goal, Michael, is we have the Easter joy. We have the feeling, the love of Christ, that he rose again for us to share that love with other people. And you have been one of the leaders and very active involved. And I'm going to do a shout out now to this program called Be My Witness. It's Renew International, and it's really a tremendous program of sharing our faith. That's a big part of what Easter is, right? Mm-hmm. Is taking our faith and sharing it with other people. Guess what? Jesus is real. He died, rose again, broke through the bonds of sin, that you may have eternal salvation. That good news, this program, Be My Witness, teaches you how to do that. How has that been a big impact in your life?
Well, there's no question that it expands your philosophy on your faith. God died and rose from the dead, but not just for me. He did that for everyone. And I'm blessed that I am open to that teaching and that I understand that for me and what Renew has helped me do, us do, within our parish community is it's helping us to build a wider community that can do that, can evangelize, and can express their faith to other people. And it's, as you say, Deacon, it's about the fifth gospel. And I look at the the people in my small group, and they're delightful people. Some of them I knew better than others. But the reality is that we've all grown in our faith together here over the last 5 to 6 weeks, and we're going to continue that. And that will give us the opportunity to speak of our faith to other people.
And what is the fifth gospel?
The fifth gospel is my story.
Is your story.
My story.
And no one can argue with that, right?
Right.
No one can say, oh, no, your story's wrong. No, wait a minute. I'm telling my life as I see it. Right.
And absolutely.
Why I made a decision for Christ. Katie, it's about making a decision for Christ. Mm-hmm. Basically saying, I believe in you. I want you in my life. I want you, Lord, of my life because of what you have done for me. That I first love you. John 15:16, not you who called me, but I who called you and appointed you to bear fruit that will remain so that whatever you ask of my Father, he may give you. We bear fruit when we realize that God has called us and we've said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. By the way, thank you for your yes.
You're welcome. Thank you, Lord, for the grace. Our first relationship ever was when God created each one of us, and he created you in a specific moment, and he deemed you to be his child, and rejoice in that. And it's a responsibility. You have gone through your 40 days through the desert. We are here in Easter celebrating, and now we have the fruit, we have the gifts, we have the joy, we have the encouragement of the Holy Spirit to lead us through this year. In a year of sharing the good news. And it's also about making a choice in your life. And so some of those things you've done during Lent, maybe you gave up, or some things, spiritual things, going to daily mass, maybe you went to daily adoration. Don't let it stop. Continue it. Continue and further your journey with the Lord, because as you draw closer to him by giving up other things to spend more time with him, and evangelizing and sharing with people who he is, this is bringing you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. And this is glorifying him. And this is living out your baptism. And this is what we're here for. We're here to bring souls to Jesus Christ who don't know him or know of him, but don't have a relationship with him the way that he wants to. So we are to help, encourage, and love our brothers and sisters in whatever place they're at and bring them to Jesus. That is our calling. And please answer yes.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 It is so critical that we understand that we're called. And at Easter today, Easter Sunday, that we say yes to him, and yes, use me, melt me, mold me, use me. Use me to be that sharing of good news, sharer of good news. Use me to be love where there is very little or no love, to be hope where there is no hope, to be the embodiment of forgiveness. Use me, Lord. Use me in a powerful way. Easter is about transformation, my brothers and sisters. And that when we feel transformed by the love of Christ, we want to share that with other people. You know, and that's a big part of what Christian radio is about, Jim. It's about sharing the love of Christ with all of our radio audience and listeners on how much God loves them.
Absolutely. And I would certainly guesstimate that on a day like today, on Easter Sunday, we might have ears listening to Relevant Radio, to Catholic Radio, that maybe at other times of the year are not listening. So if you just happen to be popping on, maybe you just found us here on the dial, and you're not a regular listener to this program or this channel, we encourage you to stick around, keep it right here to be encouraged. And if you enjoy Deacon Steve's program, you can always go look up the podcasts. You can play this program back, or hear the scores of other shows that we have posted there as podcasts.
And OC Catholic Radio, and also take a look at our website and spiritfilledhearts.org, our website that you can get the podcasts on. Very, very important. So on this Easter Sunday, may you feel the joy of the Lord, the risen Christ. May you feel his peace. May you feel the light, his light, in which you embrace that light and say yes to him. May you say yes to your baptism to be priest, prophet, and king. May you say yes to step out in faith and step out in boldness to share his love with other people. I ask special blessings upon you and your family to be healed, and many of you are being healed right now, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. There are some physical healings that are happening right now. So just say, thank you, Lord, for that healing. And we bless you with every spiritual blessing, with the joy of Easter, with the love of Easter, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We have been on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio. Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com. Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together. Join us this year at the annual Orange Catholic Foundation's Conference on Business and Ethics at Hotel Irvine, Friday, May 4th. This incredible conference is packed every year with men and women who are truly making a difference in our diocese. It's also a wonderful way to raise funds to provide financial aid for students who are unable to afford a quality Catholic education. To sponsor this year's event or purchase tickets, go online to orangecatholicfoundation.org, and we'll see you on May 4th.